Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Ilya Tovbus, Director of the Washington Jewish Film Festival.
And it's here in town May 17th through the 28th. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You said this is the 27th annual, you said?
That is correct.
Okay, how long have you been with them?
This is my fifth year.
How much have you seen it grown, even in that time?
Quite a lot. We've grown nearly threefold over the last 5 years, which has been tremendous, just seeing audiences respond to the films that are chosen and really coming to support the independent filmmakers of the world.
How many submissions do we get this year?
We consider nearly 1,200 films to whittle it down to. This year we have 63 full length and 18 shorts.
Awesome. And I know a lot of the independent variety, but also some documentaries, some bigger budgets, so the gamut.
It absolutely runs the gamut, yeah, and that's what we want to do. We want to show the full diversity of the Jewish vision on screen and of independent cinema at its best.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to get into the specific films in a minute, but first, let's talk about the big-name filmmakers that you have headlining it this year. So first, the big name is, of course, Barry Levinson. He will be coming tomorrow, Thursday night, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know, born in Baltimore, graduated from AU. You down in D.C., and then, of course, made a bunch of Baltimore movies, too. So explain how excited you are to have him here this year.
We're thrilled to have him. I'm glad you mentioned the Baltimore movies. People are, of course, familiar with Rain Man and Good Morning Vietnam, but in the Jewish community in particular and in theaters really throughout the U.S., what was originally a trilogy was called the Diner Trilogy of Baltimore Films, semi-autobiographical about Barry Levinson's life, are really iconic films that represent the Jewish experience.
Diner, Tin Men, mm-hmm. and Avalon.
Correct. And then Liberty Heights is the fourth one. It was meant to be a trilogy, and then many years later in 1999, he finished out with Liberty Heights, which is what we'll be screening.
So now it's a Baltimore quartet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, so you're going to be given this visionary award. Mm-hmm. Is he going to do a Q&A?
He's going to be doing an extensive Q&A all about his entire career and his contribution to Jewish cinema.
That's awesome. And then so we're going to screen Liberty Heights. Explain how this factors into the Jewish Film Festival, because there's a lot of, you know, it's set in the 50s in Baltimore, but a lot of, you know, anti-Semitism and racism and, you know, a lot of the stuff going on. So explain how that movie itself ties perfectly into this.
It's like you say, it ties perfectly in because it has all these various elements that we're dealing with to this day. On one hand, it's important that we look back at our history and understand where we came from and generationally how assimilation has affected not just the Jewish experience, but the American one. But then when you go beyond and you look at our current moment, where I think with increasing pace of divisive politics today, understanding our identity, understanding where we come from, understanding how it intertwines with race and with other forms of oppression in this country, I think is key, not just for Jews, but really for anyone that considers themselves a proud American.
Awesome. So we'll get to talk about those movies with Barry. And also, I'm sure if you want, towards the end of the Q&A, slip in some questions about Rain Man and The Natural and all those other stuff. All right, cool. Awesome. Believe it or not, Barry is only one of the Visionary Award recipients this year, right? We have a famous Polish filmmaker. Tell us about it.
Agnieszka Holland, Oscar nominated a number of occasions, including most recently with In Darkness. We're thrilled to have her. She's a major force of European cinema. As you mentioned, Polish director, we're showing Angry Harvest from 1985, which is very rarely screened in the States. So I'm just excited.
I think it was nominated though, right? Back then?
Angry Harvest was nominated back then, but is sort of rarely seen screens in the past decade or so. So I'm thrilled just to share the film. I think lots of our audience has not seen it. And in DC, it'll probably be a rare opportunity to catch it. But she's an incredible woman. She makes these moral tales, discusses sort of the murkiness of the human condition, which might sound really sort of highfalutin and broad, but really it's what makes us warts and all human beings. And I think she does an incredible job discussing that. And I think on U.S. screens, people might also be most familiar with her with all of her work with David Simon on TV. She's actually directed more episodes, I believe, of The Wire than any other director, Tremé and so forth. They have a very long and fruitful collaboration, the two of them.
Wow, that's awesome. So there you go. If you like The Wire, there's your Baltimore tie-in or local Maryland tie-in. There you go. Awesome. And then there's another one. You're having another famous filmmaker, Amy Heckerling. We loved her in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know, Cameron Crowe wrote it, but she's the one that directed it. And then, of course, the movie that, you know, as if, Clueless. She's going to be here for a big Clueless screening and 90s party. What's going on?
No, exactly. So Clueless, people might not remember, but it centers on Cher Horowitz, who is, of course, Jewish. As we began talking about with Barry Levinson and assimilation, this is a very sort of assimilationist tale. It's loosely based also on Emma. So it has a lot of threads on which to pull. But Amy Heckerling herself has an amazing Jewish background. She knows Yiddish fluently. Part of that is she grew up the daughter of Holocaust survivors in a building entirely of Holocaust survivors. And she's talked before about how some of the sensibility, not so much the subject matter, definitely winds its way into her films. And I think that's something that we're really eager to unpack on the evening with her. But as you mentioned, it starts out, it's going to be fun, light, just like the film itself. 90s party, there's going to be themed drinks, there's going to be a photo booth. It's really meant to be a celebration of sort of one of our great iconic filmmakers.
You said she knows Yiddish fluently. How do you say as if in Yiddish? I don't even know.
I should ask her.
Show up decked out in your 90s gear, right? Because mm-hmm. you can get the photos and the food and the drinks. Oh, that's going to be awesome. All right, well, definitely check that out. Let's start working our way through some of the other movies then. Opening night, The Women's Balcony, a hit mm-hmm. comedy from Israel?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's the box office hit of the year, Women's Balcony. It's a very light, warm-hearted look at... it starts with an accident where the balcony where women sit in this particular synagogue and in many more Orthodox synagogues, that is the case. And then it really becomes this tear, pull, tug between genders, but not just between genders, really between modernity and conformity, and to what degree you can be progressive within a religious context, which I think is an open question, very interesting, again, both to the Jewish experience, but also I think more broadly than that, and again,
a lot of
echoes in,
in
the current moment, because you have, on one hand, this push to not rebuild the women's balcony or put it off in the corner and somehow minimize their voice, and yet you see these women are quite strong and are not willing to go without a fight.
Wow. So there you go. Deep social commentary, but you're going to laugh your butt off at the same
time.
Absolutely.
It's a comedy. It's lighthearted. It's fun. It's going to be tonight. So great to have people with us.
That's so awesome. Okay, cool. So then also there's a big movie that had a little breakout in Sundance. Menashe? Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the filmmaker's coming.
The filmmaker's coming, and also the subject of the film is coming. So we're thrilled about that, and we want to thank A24,
what's it about?
The distributor. So the film deals with sort of bereavement about a young child and a father's attempt to shepherd his child, again, in a sort of Orthodox community in Brooklyn to take care of his child away from his mother.
Is this isn't he a widower? He's working at a grocery store or something in Brooklyn?
That is correct.
Okay, okay. That's going to be a good one. Awesome. And then if you like something a little different, a sports documentary on the map about a famous basketball upset. Explain to our listeners what that one's about.
So this is an incredible pulled from real life story in 1977. The Israeli basketball team, which was to say unheralded, is probably putting it exactly to put it mildly, quite an underdog, went on to defeat all the great powers of European basketball, including the USSR, which at the time really dominated the games. It's an incredible filmmaker, Donnie Menken, who actually his last great film was about therapeutic dolphins, so he's got quite a range. And the stories, on one hand, should be attractive to any sports buff. It's important to know the key player, Tal Brody, is an American that decided to move to Israel rather than make his fortune in the NBA, where he was very much sought. And I think it's an incredible heroic story. But it's also, again, I think if you dig down a little bit deeper, it has so much to do with the politics of the country in a moment where between wars there was really... an injury of sorts to the pride of Israelis, and I think this story really brings forth heroism present in that country.
Awesome. So yeah, if you've heard of The Miracle on Ice, this is The Miracle on the Court, baby. Mm-hmm. We come out and check out that doc. It's called On the Map. Also, special 45th anniversary screening of Bob Fosse's Cabaret.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, what do you say about it?
It's one of my favorites.
Oscar
Chan. You know, Liza Minnelli doing an incredible turn. Great singing.
Joel
good
Gray.
Story. And again, lots and lots of themes that are relevant to this day. Joel Gray, exactly. So yeah, come out to see that. Again, a great chance to see it on the big screen.
A lot of people forget that Fosse beat Coppola for Godfather, for director for that movie. Yeah. Go into a little bit more about how that ties into, it's a musical, but it's kind of a dark musical warning against the rise of Nazi Germany.
Right. I think, this ties into one of our series in general, The Mechanism of Extremism, where you see in retrospect, obviously everything looks a little bit better in hindsight, but these markers of oppressive societies and, you know, on one hand, yes, there's lots of song and dance, but as you see, there's a lot of portent of what's to come. I think the film does an incredible job exploring that. Some of our films in the series hit upon the theme a little bit more carefully. We start with 1899, a film called Murder in Polna, that actually is a historical tale, but features the Czechoslovakia's first president, not on screen, but represented on screen by an actor, and looking at sort of the crowd mentality and trying to find a scapegoat in the Jewish community, which is very common, obviously, throughout time. But you see a lot of the elements that make up extremist societies in this film. You see a lot of them in a great film called Keep Quiet that was at Tribeca, which deals with a right-wing party member from the Hungarian government who is very publicly anti-Semitic, leads these rallies, rallying against not just Jews, but also the Roma population and immigrants in general, and then is completely upended when he finds out that he himself is Jewish, which he did not realize. Mm-hmm. And undertakes this incredible turn, and you're not entirely sure if it's genuine or not, where he dives completely into his Judaism. He studies with a rabbi and decides to sort of make a go of it, perhaps to stay in the spotlight, perhaps out of genuine new identification.
What's that one called again?
That one's called Keep Quiet.
Keep Quiet. Okay, okay. Speaking of staying in the spotlight, like you just said, tell me about your spotlight films. The History of Love, based on a novel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's based on the great Nicole Krauss novel. This one has quite the cast with Elliot Gould leading the way.
Gotta love Elliot Gould.
So this is an epic saga. It takes place all around the world, decades of time, and again, sort of captures the degree to which our history affects our present and exists not just, you know, Elliot Gould's obviously playing an older man, not just a personal life, but really the history of European Jews, European immigrants, and what they've left behind and been forced to leave behind.
Awesome. And the other one's called The Bloom of Yesterday. That's the other spotlight. Explain this one, because this is a guy, he's like a researcher, but he finds out that his grandfather was part of the Third Reich, and he's struggling with his family history.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually quite common to a degree in Germany. Obviously, the film takes a fanciful turn or several, and it's sort of a dark comedy centered on the Holocaust, which is an incredible thing. And while there have been a few comedies famously made about the Holocaust, it's still a pretty touchy subject. And I think this one definitely handles the subject matter. But as you say, he's a Holocaust researcher sort of with a dark past. And in Germany, you do have a lot of situations where you have several generations later and people whose parents were either wittingly or unwittingly in the Nazi party and supported the party. And how do they handle that?
And then, of course, the closing night, Fanny's Journey, about a tough little 12-year-old girl, occupied France in 1943. Explain this one.
So as you mentioned, a little girl, and this is completely based on a true story, who is forced not just to fend for herself, as many kids were during the Holocaust, but finds herself really in charge of this small brigade of kids as they're running through the countryside, running away from the Nazis. And it shows the resourcefulness that kids have, but also the absolutely horrible circumstance situation that war forces our children into.
Wow. Awesome. Well, as you can see, the lineup, a lot of variety here. Mm-hmm. So come check it out. Again, it's May 17th through the 28th. In closing, why should we come out? If our listeners have heard this, they say, that sounds kind of cool. Why should they come?
I think a few reasons. I mean, obviously, I think the quality of the film shines through. I think if you're a cinephile at all, if you're interested in films that have been at Sundance, Tribeca, Berlin, Cannes, this is oftentimes your only chance, almost certainly your first chance to see them in D.C., even if that chance does come about later, it's a very rare and amazing opportunity to meet with the filmmakers and the artists behind it, ask them some questions at the Q&As, participate in panels, and it's a great celebration of Jewish culture. It's a great celebration of cinema.
Say no more. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.